Let's listen to God's word. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. What a great question that is. Do you know my Jesus? We have been thinking of a little series on Sunday nights called Do You Know Who Jesus Is? Because unless you know who he is, you'll never come to know him personally. And perhaps you'll never understand the reason why he came from glory to die on that cross to save us from our sins. Last time we looked at him, we noted the calling of the first disciples in Luke chapter 5 in those opening verses. Luke, having already introduced us to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, then spoke about the nature and the importance of the Savior's ministry. And then he introduced us to some of those first disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ called to himself. And we noted three very simple things. We looked at the conduct of the Savior. Because as he sat there and met with those people at the side of the lake of Lake Gennesaret, he had a message to share, and almost immediately he took Peter's boat and he used it as a pulpit in order to bring the good news of God to those who had gathered that day. That's not strange, because the Lord Jesus Christ was very flexible with his methods of reaching people. We don't seem to be as flexible, because we assume sometimes that so long as we meet on a Sunday night, that's the time we reach people with the gospel. That's not so. Every day is another opportunity, wherever we are, to reach people and tell them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true of us individually. It's true of us corporately. We noted the condition of Peter and how he realized that following the directions of the Lord Jesus Christ was the only thing that mattered, because without Christ, his life had no real purpose or success. And it's exactly the same for any one of us who choose to go our own way. We noted the cost of discipleship. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible's very clear about that. Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to take them away from their livelihood. He said to them, from now on, you shall catch men. And of course, when Jesus spoke to them, they forsook all in order to follow him. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says of all who will follow him, except you deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. I remember on one occasion a number of years ago, while being pastor of the church in Armagh, that my daughter came home very excited from school. She said, Dad, you'll never believe it, you'll never believe it. I said, well, if you tell me, I might. She said, you'll never believe it, you'll never believe it. And I said, now hold on a moment, what are you talking about? She said, you know who's coming to our school, and I'm going to meet him face to face. I don't know, I said. She said, President Bill Clinton. Oh, I said, is that right? She was filled with enthusiasm, where as far as I was concerned, I would not have left the house to go to meet that particular man. But he did come, and the media, they were out in force. There were continual news bulletins in Armagh every half hour to keep us up to date about his whereabouts. Many of the people were glad to see the president. Some, because of the political situation at that time, were glad to see him go, as were others who had been stranded in their cars all morning to late afternoon because they weren't allowed to get out. Now, there were many things about his visit then, as I'm sure is true of whether it's the Pope or whether it's a president or whether it's a Prime Minister or the Queen of the country, when all these people tend to come and visit even for a few days, they make some wonderful statements about them. On that occasion, I remember sitting as Bill Clinton was introduced. I was more interested to see, could I see my daughter than I was the president, but I couldn't see her, so I had to look at the president. And he was introduced as the most important man in the world. And then they said after this he was the most powerful man in the world. What a shame that a man should be in that position and yet carry on the way he did. But you know, every president that has followed after him, the same has been said of them. The most important, the most powerful man in the world. But you know, the scriptures look at these things differently. Because no matter how great the leader, and no matter how important the nation, the fact is this, that leaders come and go. And they are judged by what they did during the time they were in office, and they simply disappear onto the pages of history. And of course, nations rise and they fall. They can stand defiantly toward God, whether it be communism, or whether it be secularism, doesn't matter. Nations rise and they fall because at the end of the day, all authority is in the hands of a sovereign God. But you know, there is a man who has absolute authority over everything, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Luke chapter 5, we see his authority demonstrated in two different incidents. One concerns a poor leper in great need. And the other, as we have read, concerns a paralytic or a paralyzed man whose condition was hopeless and helpless. Now, we'll never be able to look at both of these incidents tonight, so we're going to dwell for the time that remains on this leper. And I want you to note a few important things about him, because just like last Sunday night, there's so much here to challenge us and those who are unconverted. There's a great challenge for you too. I want you to note, first of all, in this man, the seriousness of his condition. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has just called some of the disciples to himself, telling them that he's now going to lead them on to a new vocation, because instead of catching fish, they are going to be winning souls to Jesus Christ. Now, that wouldn't be an easy task. And in any generation, it never is. And in the generation of which you and I are part tonight, it is becoming increasingly more difficult. And that's why perhaps we need to think more about the methods that we use to try to reach men and women with the gospel. Not change the message. The message is the same. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Here Jesus comes and he enters into a certain city. We're not told what that certain city was named. We're not even told whether some of his disciples or all the disciples were with him or not, because at this stage of his ministry, the 12 had not all been called and they had not yet been appointed as apostles. But Jesus was in this city, and almost immediately as he enters into the city, he's confronted by a man whose condition was very serious, because we're told that this man had leprosy. The words that are used here by Dr. Luke would suggest to us that this man was in a very serious condition. Now let's put ourselves in the shoes of this man for a moment. Sometimes in life, we who are believers forget what we were before we were reached by the grace of God. And sometimes the longer we go on in life, we sometimes forget that what we are by the grace of God. So stand, as it were, for a moment in the shoes of this poor leprous man and see yourself as he must have seen himself, and see yourself as the crowds would have seen him. The first thing is this: he was in a poor condition. Leprosy in Bible times was greatly feared by the people because it was incurable. Now, I've sought the help of William Hendrickson with regards to his commentary and what he says about leprosy and how bad it can get, for here's what he says. He says, leprosy generally began with pain in certain areas of the body. That pain would spread to numbness. Very soon, the skin would lose its color and sores appear in the skin. These turn to ulcers which begin to spread, and in particular to the area around the eyes and the ears. It leaves the features distorted. Soon it spreads to every part of the body. It's not unusual for fingers and toes to drop off. And leprosy affected the voice and the whole body because it left a terrible smell. Put yourself in this man's shoes for a moment. You'll grasp something of his poor condition. But also you'll note he was in a pitiful position, because leprosy was a contagious disease. It led to the isolation of the individual concerned. In fact, in Bible times, lepers were seen to be ceremonial, unclean. They were shut off from all social and religious contact. They were kept outside the city. They often huddled together as a little group on their own. And if they were approaching the city and there were people about, they would always ring a bell and cry out that they were unclean, so that they would not be approached, and so that they themselves could not approach others and ask for their help. And in many cases, there was no real point. The priests believed that the healing of the leper was as difficult as raising someone from the dead. So here's a man who's in a poor condition. Here's a man in a pitiful position. And there's absolutely nothing he can do for himself to bring about change. You know, very often in the Bible, leprosy is seen as an example of sin and what sin does in our lives. You and I don't need to be reminded tonight, do we, of how sin has not only entered the world way back in the Garden of Eden, and how that through one man, Adam, all of us have been affected by the fall, because we're all sinners in God's sight. But you and I know it by the way that we live, motivated by wrong principles, making our way through life, doing our own thing, going our own way, living in sin, and that sin taking us further away from God than we ever intended to go. That's what sin does in our lives. And when you and I follow a pathway like that, we're living in opposition to God. We're choosing evil instead of good. Like this poor leper outside of society life, you and I are out of fellowship with God, with absolutely no hope in this world, and no hope whatsoever of heaven if death should come and catch us away in that state. Do you want the truth? The whole truth? And nothing but the truth? At our very best, we are all corrupt. Corrupt in nature. And we are all condemned because of our sin. But that needs to be faced up to tonight. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to see yourself as you really are. Some of you won't face up to it because you have great difficulty in accepting the fact that you're a sinner. Some of you won't accept the fact because you see the best in yourself and you're content with yourself and with all your failures and all your faults. And your answer to the question is, but God understands me just the way I am. He does. He does. He understands every single one of us tonight, just the way we are. As we were reminded this morning, He knows every detail of our lives. There's not a thing tonight that's unknown to God. But whether He knows us or not is not the issue. The issue is that God doesn't cover over our sin the way we try to do so. God sees us right into the very heart. He knows our very nature. He knows every detail concerning us. He knows about the sin that separates us from Him. And that's why you and I can't remain as we are if we ever hope to be in heaven. We need our sins removed. We need them cleansed. We need to be made right with God. And the only way that can happen is for you and I to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because after all, we've been singing tonight, that's why He came into the world in the first place. That's why He left glory. He came to suffer and to bleed and to die on a cross at Calvary, that your sins and mine, every last one of them, might be forgiven, washed away in the precious blood that He shed on the cross. But you and I need to come personally to Him whom the Bible describes as being the one who made a once for all sacrifice for our sin, that we might come back to God. And if you don't come to Him, and you won't come to Him, you'll never know forgiveness. You'll never know the joy of your sins completely cleansed. You'll never know what it is to enjoy fellowship with God. In 1988, not long before she actually died, a well-known secular humanist and novelist called Morganti Lasky appeared on American television with others on a panel. They were debating the subject of different religions and different faiths. And all of a sudden she stopped in the middle of the debate and she said this. She said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." Well, I want to tell you tonight, there's somebody who can forgive you. There is somebody who can come to where you are with all your sin and your shame, with all your faults and failures. There is somebody tonight, and He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of His work on the cross, He can forgive you. And He's waiting. And He's willing to do it this very moment. That you might go home this evening with these words we'll sing at the close of our meeting, ringing in your heart. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. The seriousness of His condition, the simplicity of His call. It seems strange at this stage that this man was even near the city at all. Because according to Leviticus 13:45, a leper was to stay outside the city. He was to dwell apart from the people. But this man, this poor man in a pitiful state, he makes his way into the city. Maybe he'd heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he knew something about this Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe there was something burning in this man's heart and he was longing for the day when Jesus might pass by, that his life might be touched too and changed. Now we don't know. But we do know this, that this man desperately needed the Savior. Luke tells us here that he was a man full of leprosy. The meaning is that this man was at an advanced stage of leprosy. Physically, he's in bad shape. But you know, he sets his eyes on Jesus and he cries out to Him, not just simply, but most sincerely. Look at the simplicity of his cry. First of all, he turns to Jesus. He says, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. This man didn't know whether the help he needed would be given to him or not. You can see the way in which he addresses the Lord Jesus. You can see the way in which he reaches out with his question. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He doesn't know at this stage whether Jesus will or not. But he comes in desperation and he asks Jesus to touch his life. And he asked Jesus to change his body. He knew deep down in his own heart there was no other hope of cure. And he simply comes and seeks his Savior's help. Look at the sincerity of his cry. It says here he fell on his face as he besought Jesus. That's a remarkable approach, isn't it? And yet not only was this man in a city where he shouldn't have been, he dared to approach Christ and fall at his feet with a deep humility. And that word besought in the Authorized Version, it literally means to implore. Do you know what it means? It means that this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said to him, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. And he just didn't say it and stand and look at the Lord waiting for a response. This man was down before the Savior and he was in such a state, he was begging the Lord Jesus Christ to touch him and to heal him from this awful disease. He was sure that Jesus had the power to do it. But he was unsure as to whether Jesus was willing or not. You see, as far as you and I are concerned, we have no such excuse. The fact is that we know tonight on the authority of God's Word that if we come with all our sin and all our shame, and we come just as this man did, and we fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and humble ourselves beneath that cross where he suffered and bled and died for us, if we come and we call upon his name, he'll save us. He'll save us. You have his word on that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No doubt about it. And if you're prepared to come and take the sinner's place and you're prepared to come and humble yourselves under his mighty hand and you're there tonight at his feet and you know you have a need and you're waiting and you're willing to be cleansed and you tell the Lord Jesus Christ you're sorry for your sin, he'll cleanse you. And he'll change you. And he'll give you a new life to begin with. And you'll never be the same ever again. And you say to me, but how is it possible that he might do this? Because of Calvary. Because his death on the cross is sufficient for all your sin. Because as we were reminded today through David, God is satisfied with the work that Jesus Christ has done at that cross. And I'm telling you now that he's waiting and he's willing. Whoever you are and wherever you're sitting in this meeting, he's willing to save you right now. Right now. You say, Pastor, just where I'm sitting, just where you're sitting. Just as I am, just as you are. That's the wonderful thing about the Savior. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. If you're prepared, even where you're sitting in the meeting, to bow your head and your heart in response and to turn from your sin and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need salvation. Please come to me and give me it tonight. He'll do it. He'll do it. But you know the problem? Well, you know the question? It's not that the Lord Jesus Christ is unwilling and it's not that he's not able. The big question is, are you willing to come? Are you willing to come? Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today. Tenderly saying, come. Come. Come to me. Come tonight. come now, because this might be the only call and time you'll ever have. Jesus says, come. He's waiting. He's willing. And he's well able to save you. The question is, are you willing to come? The seriousness of his condition, the simplicity of his call, the suddenness of his cure. Why, I love this story. What a wonderful story it is, because it not only shows this poor man's healing, it shows the authority and the sovereignty and the love and compassion of Christ. Just as quickly as the poor leper made his cry, we see that Jesus moved his compassionate hand and he removed this man's leprosy. What power, what authority the Lord Jesus Christ had shown. Now, there's nothing magical about this. This is just the evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ was whom he said he was. He was Israel's Messiah. John had already identified him when the people asked John, who are you? John says, I'm not the one you're expecting. There's one who is coming after me. And then he says, there he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And what Jesus did was not magical. It simply authenticated who the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be. God's Son sent from heaven. The one tonight who, with a movement of his mighty hand, is able not just to change the life of a poor leper. He's able to restore sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf. He's able tonight to raise the very dead and bring them from the grave. Lazarus, come forth. There's not a man in the world and never has been outside of Jesus Christ who had the power to do it. Doesn't matter whether he was the greatest president or leader or church leader who ever lived. No man has ever had that authority. That authority is his and his alone. Do you know what it says? Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. That is surely a wonderful thing. According to the law, this man had to return to the priest and bring the required offering for his cleansing. But this man's different. For the moment Jesus touched his life, he's cured and he's changed. Immediately. It could be exactly the same for any one of us in the meeting. Just as you are, you can come to him. He has the power to change your life. Just where you are, you can come to him. And Jesus Christ will not only change your life and touch it, he'll cure you of your sin problem. He'll give you a real new life to begin with. Pastor Taylor, what does that mean for me? It means those rags of sin that adorned your life could be removed forever. To be replaced with robes of righteousness that makes you acceptable in the sight of God. And having come to this meeting without hope in your sin in a pitiful, pathetic state, you could go home and know that you're a child of God by faith. And it only takes a moment of time for the Lord Jesus Christ to change you completely. How do you know that? Because one night, on my knees at my bedside, it was just a simple prayer, and it was a complete change of life. Immediately. No, that doesn't mean to say that the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything changes in the sense that you and I become what we will be in 20 years' time. No, Christ-likeness is a process. It takes time. But the sin question, that's a different thing. And the sin question can be dealt with once and for all and forever. And at the very moment, we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. It may be that some of you will say, but Pastor, I believe I'm going to have to work harder for my salvation. I believe that I'm going to have to keep on praying and keep on giving. I believe I'll do the best I can and work at it very hard until I am a changed man. Yep, you'll change. Becoming more respectable, even more religious. But all the changes in your life will never make you acceptable to God. You'll still be a sinner. And that's the sin problem that you need to deal with. And Jesus Christ can remove it tonight, change you completely. You'll never be the same again. As a young believer, these words, I used to hear them sung and I absolutely loved them. They used to bring me to tears, they still do. For all things were changed when he found me. A new day broke through all around me. For I met the Master. And now I belong to him. To you. Or like this leprous man, are you still in a poor condition of heart and life? Still far from God and in danger of slipping out into a lost eternity? When Jesus is waiting and willing to save you this very night. The question is, are you willing? Let's pray for a moment. Just as we pray before we sing our closing hymn. Father, we love these pages of Scripture, the Gospels that reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ in all his authority, with his heart of love and compassion for the downcast and the destitute, and even for this poor leper that we have considered this evening. Father, we recognize that in our sin we're all pathetic sights, all in need of the Savior's touch upon our lives, all in deep need of God's salvation. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way again tonight, waiting and willing to save all who will call upon him for mercy. We pray therefore that you'll speak to all our hearts, and not just here in this meeting, but in every meeting across this land, so that there will be those who will rise up and in repentance and with simple faith, that they'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and trust him now, that they might know their lives completely transformed. So bless your word wherever it goes forth tonight, and grant that the Lord Jesus Christ will be pleased to save many. And we ask it in his lovely name. Amen.